Starling aus, als soll mir der König sehen. Schnell verschwindet auch der letzte Schatten sau, wenn wir unser König sehen. Ja, wir sollen den König sehen, jubeln sollen wir vor ihm. Befreien, ewig alle Zeit, werden wir den König sehen. Nach des Lebens Mühe, Angst und Not und Pein, werden wir den König sehen. Dort, wo keine Trennung, ewig glücklich sein, und wir unseren König. Vor ihm stehen, durch sein Blut befreien, ewig alle Zeit, werden wir den König sehen. Wenn das Siegesbanner triumphieren will, werden wir den König sehen. Wenn am heißen vor ihm stehen, durch sein Blut befreien, ewig alle Zeit, werden wir den König sehen. Ja, wir sollen den König sehen, jubeln wollen wir vor ihm stehen, durch sein Blut befreien. Wir sollen den König sehen, jubeln wollen wir vor ihm stehen, durch sein Blut befreien, ewig alle Zeit, werden wir den König sehen.
Amen. Praise and thanks be unto our Lord for his grace and faithfulness. Grace that we have been saved. Grace that we may come together. Grace that there is still a time of grace. Yes. And also today, the word shall be fulfilled. From his fullness we have received grace for grace. We are of course gathered in the name of the Lord to be brought up to date in the kingdom of God, to receive teaching, as we just heard it in Isaiah 51, to receive teaching, to see the signs of the time and to place everything biblically, so that even the last one is convinced by the Holy Scripture that we are really very close before the return of our beloved Lord. And also this we will say here over and over again. We are not only living in the end time, we are living at the end of the end time. We believe with all our heart what the Scripture says, that no man knows the day or the hour. In the same way, we believe that our Lord said, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know. Then you don't have to guess, not will it be, will it not be. Then you know that your redemption is drawing near. That's how it is written, and that's how we believe it. Also today, we are greeting everyone all over the world. Maybe it should be said once here that the services are transmitted, and whoever has email and whoever has the internet connection can see us and listen to us live. All over the world, the service can be followed. In the moment, we have two languages into which the transmission is being done. And God willing, from the next year on, there will be 10 languages. So that all, wherever they are on earth, so that they can listen and so that they can watch and being brought up to date just like we at this place. Brothers and sisters, also in this we see the fulfillment of what the Lord has said. The gospel shall be preached unto all nations. Whether I or we still come to all nations, this is of course somehow with the Lord, but the word will get there. And when in Revelation 14 the angel is shown who flies in the midst of heaven, then of course by this was announced that not somebody will make a trip in a ship, but it will go through the air, and that all the world will hear it and even see it, of what is here, of what kind of proclamation is here. And we just have the confidence to God. The nice is that our confidence is not on us. Otherwise, there would always be an up and down. Our confidence and trust is in the Lord, and whoever trusts the Lord will not be ashamed. I just hear the amen. Especially, I would like to welcome all our ministering brethren, be it Brother Didier, Brother Kupfer, and all the brethren who minister with the word, also here from Prague or from Slovakia, wherever the brothers are coming, to be with us and to hear the word and to then bring it to their congregations. We appreciate it very much that our brothers from Brussels, from Paris, from Strasbourg, from Lyon, from Marseille, and as I said, from Prague, and from everywhere the brothers are coming to hear with us the word. They are humble enough. If they would be proud, then they would not be here today. But God has His people, and God has His servants, His ministers, who carry the same word, giving out the spiritual food which the Lord has given us by grace. Concerning the developments on this earth, also in politics and so forth, to this we will not go into details. I just heard now that in the Black Forest there was a earthquake about 5.4 of magnitude. Also in our own country it starts now to shake and to tremble. This one has to imagine. So, an earthquake in our country, in the nice Black Forest. We just hope that our house there is not damaged. Yes. Then we have a very good and sad news. A new Bible translation in the German language, published by the Catholic and Protestant Church. And some things are different here in this Bible. The first is Daniel. Daniel, from now on, has not 12 chapters anymore, but 14 chapters. They made an adding to the prophet Daniel, from taken over from the Apocrypha and putting it there. The Apocrypha were only put into the Bible in the 16th century, and they don't belong into the Bible at all. So here you can see it. Here you have chapter 13 and 14 in the prophet Daniel. With us it remains that there are only 12 chapters. With this God finished, and with this we also finish. Then we have, I just had a brief look into it. We don't have it here like in our Bibles, namely, "Thus saith the Lord," or "That's how the Lord had spoken." Here it says, "As sure as I live, proverb of God, proverb of God, proverb of God, everywhere, proverb of God." We are not dealing with proverbs which God made. We are dealing with what God had spoken, namely, with the "Thus saith the Lord." It is really heartbreaking if one sees these things personally in our time. But thanks be to God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. And the word of the Lord was sown into our hearts. Even though it has fallen into the hands of men, the Spirit of God leads us into all truth, and thereby it remains forever. We cannot change anything on these developments. We are not being asked, and God is just watching until the measure is really full. And when the time of grace comes to its end. Then you all heard about it. In our country, the discussion goes on that the Islam religion should be taught in the schools. This one has to imagine. My personal opinion is that the lessons of religion do not belong into the schools at all. The Catholic lesson belongs into the Catholic Church, and the Protestant lesson belongs in the Protestant Church, and the Baptist lessons into the Baptist Church. All the religions shall do among themselves what they like, but the people shall decide for themselves where they go and what they believe and so forth. But democracy is a dictatorship which is just administered. And so, if one reads about the Islam, some things here you have the black stone in the Kaaba in Mecca. If one just reads a bit about it, then one knows that God is not in a religion. And let us say it freely and openly and clearly. God is in no religion, also not in Judaism, not in religion. God is in his people. He takes dwelling in us. And when the time for Israel comes, then God will reveal himself to them. But then the Lord himself comes to Mount Zion. Then it's no more a religion, but the presence of God among his people. Then he will dwell visible among them and be with them. The reason I mention this is the following. We all know that the Jews are not allowed to mention the name of the Lord. They may not speak it out. They can and may not say Yahweh, the eternally existing one, as the Lord God himself revealed it to his prophet Moses in Exodus chapter 6, when he said to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, I revealed myself as the Almighty God, but by my name J-H-W-H. This all know. This is the tetragram. This is the revealed name of the Lord God in the Old Testament. And out of this, the name Yahweh came up. This is the covenant name of the Lord God in the Old Testament. And Yahshua is the covenant name of the Lord God in the New Testament. And now comes the tragedy. I just want to mention this very briefly, but I think it to be necessary to show us this connection here. Here, in the book from Jerusalem, I just read now from the book which is published in Jerusalem. Every year it's going to be published. Here is the Confession of Faith of Israel. It's written here, Hear, O Israel, the Eternal One, our God, the Eternal One is one. Wonderful. Nothing against it. On the next page, this was page 96, on page 97, it says, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Here it should say, Yahweh, Elohim, Yahweh, Echad. That's how it should be written here. Because that's how it is in the Holy Scripture. That's how it is in the Hebrew text. Now, just very briefly, to Amos, chapter 6, to show this to the whole world, that without revelation, nothing happens at all, that everything can happen only by revelation. Now I read you the place which the people of Israel, or rather the scholars in Israel, in Judaism, are using so that the name of the Lord, which is holy, may not be mentioned. Just read the verse where the statement is. Amos chapter 6, Amos chapter 6, verse, second part from verse 6. One moment. Maybe I start straight with verse 8. Amos chapter 6 from verse 8. The Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts. I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And now it comes. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a kinsman of the dead, who is to bury him, keep this in mind, who is to bury him, shall pick him up, and to bring out the bodies out of the house, and shall say unto him that is still alive in the farthest part of the house, he shall say, is there anyone, is there another body in the house? Then shall he say, no, no one. And he shall continue saying, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. This is the scripture unto which the Hebrew scholars, our friends in Judaism, are referring to not speak out the holy name of the Lord Yahweh. And the peak of the whole thing is this. We just pulled it out today from the internet. Just at 8:52 a.m. this morning, we pulled it from the internet. And because of this statement of 10 men who would be still in the house, it was decided in Judaism the Jewish service needs the presence of 10 religious, mature male persons. Not only that they brought the misunderstanding of not mentioning the name among the people, but they derive from it that 10 men must be present before a service can start. Brothers and sisters, I say once again, if God does not give grace, then we misunderstand every word, starting from Genesis up to Revelation. And therefore, we just put the weight on to emphasize how important it is to not interpret the scripture, but to leave it in the context into which it belongs. So when the time comes, and before 10 men of the nations will take hold of the corner of the garment of him that is a Jew, it speaks here also of 10, and all shall die because they missed what God is doing. And then the bodies are carried out. And God is a living God. When bodies are carried out, then his name may not be mentioned, because that's how it is written. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So, there where death is, the name may not be mentioned. But there where there is divine life, the name must be mentioned, because in him was life, and the life is and was the light of men. Brothers and sisters, everything has its place. But, as already mentioned, only to the people of God the access is granted. Otherwise, there is nothing but misunderstandings. Let us come to the scriptures and the subject which that the Lord has a church on earth. A church which is established on the revelation of Jesus Christ. A church which has received life from God. And in our midst shall not bodies be carried out. Here the dead shall become alive through the quickening and forever remaining word of God. And the name of our Lord shall be mentioned and shall be highly praised, because he was merciful to us and has received us. As the introduction for our subject, let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just we'll read one verse here and one verse there. We are, of course, familiar with the content. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It is so nice that in the Holy Scripture we have teaching about every subject, about everything. God did not forget anything, absolutely nothing. And then we come to the second part, in verse 3, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So, even though the people confess the Son of God with their lips, or even say or sing, He is Lord, He is Lord, then with this, they don't necessarily mean that Lord and the Son which the Scripture speaks about and which we mean. I read it up yesterday. Most people are convinced, when God said, "Let there be light," that the Son came into existence. The others believe that God has begotten and born the Son already in heaven. The third ones believe that he as Son is the Archangel Michael from the Old Testament. When it says Son of God, then all these gentlemen are not meaning what the Holy Scripture has to say to us. A son shall be born unto you, and the government is on his shoulder. And he was not born in heaven, and not at the beginning of creation. He was born in Bethlehem. To you is born today the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, in the city of David. Luke 2, verse 11. So, when the demons in the days of our Lord, three times in a row, they said, "We know who you are. You are the Son of God of the Most High." He who takes this then to 1 John chapter 4, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, he is of God. You see, one must not only read the Holy Scripture precisely, one must get the deep significance of the word which we are reading, we must get it revealed by the Spirit of God. To the letter, all can refer. But the revelation through the Holy Spirit have only the true children of God. That's how our Lord said it in Matthew 11 and Luke 10. No one knows who the Father is except the Son, and who the Son is except the Father, and to whom He will reveal it. Reveal Him. Without revelation is nothing. Really, nothing happens. And then we have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but one and the same Spirit. And then all the gifts are listed. And then we come to verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. And so that we see now, and that we know that water baptism and spirit baptism are important for the body of the Lord and are connected with one another. Let us read also verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's how it is. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Just back to the Word. What does the Scripture say? Back to the original Christianity, or better, back to the early church. Because we believe, and that we count on, that the restoration of all things will soon take place. But notice here, from the very first promise, from Genesis 3 verse 15, where the promise was given that the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent, 4,000 years passed. It should not be strange to us when now 2,000 years have come and gone, and we are still waiting for the return of the Lord. We are not waiting in vain. The return of the Lord will take place. It will take place very soon. It will take place in our time, because we are that generation which is actually experiencing Bible prophecy in reality. We experienced it, that the people of Israel returned. This is always something wonderful, if one can handle it. If one not just has to say in general, earthquakes, famines, wars, and so forth, but when one can handle it, when you see that the fig tree comes to life, and when the buds are coming forth, then you know that the time is here. The fig tree has received life. The Jews have returned from where they were scattered. And the flag of David is waving again. And the Jews are really praying at the Wailing Wall that they would be alive when the Messiah comes and when the temple is rebuilt. And then we have the comparison with the book of Acts, chapter 15, from verse 13. First, the Lord calls his people out from all peoples, tongues, and nations. And when the fullness of the Gentiles has come into the church, then she will be raptured. And then God turns to Israel, as he promised in the Old and in the New Testament, especially lined out from Paul in Romans chapter 11. Everything is written already in this book. And we have the grace to not only read this book, but to respect the divine order, and to know God is on his throne. Even if we might think the time is overrun, we can just say together with Peter, God is not slack concerning his promise. He is just long-suffering until the last ones are added and called. Then we have here, in verse 27, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, the wonderful statement of Paul, being led by the Spirit. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? God was distributing. Not one has everything, but each one has something. Each one has something. No one goes out empty-handed. And so we have read it here. Or let us read it once again, if not in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. Not only to some, to every member, on the body of Jesus Christ is given the revelation of the Spirit by grace. And we have read it very clearly. From verse 13, once again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Here belongs one remark. It just belongs here. He who reads the Holy Scripture with respect, and not only like any other book, he will find out that in every city was only one local assembly. Only one. There was no Ephesus, no Philippi. There was no city where there were several assemblies. But in every city was one church. And then we have the seven church messages. They are the best example for it in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And these seven church messages have, of course, a prophetic character, which already show that the New Testament church will go through seven different ages, and that we now arrived at the end in Laodicea, in the last church age. But, to say it once again, the Spirit of God unites a church together. Other spirits split. God unites. God not only reconciles, but He unites the ones who are reconciled with Him. And they are reconciled with God and with one another. And God, according to 2 Corinthians 5, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore, when Paul writes about divisions and of brethren who present strange doctrines, then they have not been appointed by God. Then they are not apostles, not prophets, not teachers, but squareheads who want to go with their heads through every wall. And probably they think to know everything better. But what they don't know must be said to them. If they would have been baptized by one Spirit into the body, and if they would be a member on the body, then they would not chop up the body, but they would remain in the body and would suffer together with the whole body. According to the scripture, if one member suffers, then the whole body suffers. And if one member is honored, then the whole body is honored. We have read it very clearly. It is not the brother so and so, but it's the Spirit of God who works all in all. Did Paul call himself? Did the prophets call themselves? Did one ever knock at God saying, "Here I am, can you use me?" The one was herding sheep, the other one was growing mulberries, the one was here, the other one was there. The Lord took them for a specific purpose, for a purpose which is connected with the plan of salvation, with the church, and with all what God has ordained and promised for the church. And then we are really at the main promise for this time. One doesn't want to say it here always, but if we don't say it, who will then say it? We believe out of conviction the promise which God has given, that before the terrible day of the Lord, that He would send a prophet like Elijah. Who am I that I would question, or even coming with the argument, how could he know whether it was him or not him? Brothers and sisters, let me to this read you a word of John the Baptist. Here, from John chapter 1, from verse 31. John 1, from verse 31. The testimony of John the Baptist. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come. First question. Could he be made manifest to Israel without a forerunner? No. And why no? Because God has said, I send my messenger before my face, who will prepare my way before me. God does all things himself according to his word, and he demands from us that we are obedient and that we are believing according to his word and also do accordingly. Then it continues, baptizing with water, and John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And then comes once again the statement, and I knew him not. Earthly speaking, one could have said here, but Mary was so good related to Elizabeth. Was she not in the sixth month of her pregnancy? Was not the child jumping in her body? What was it? I knew him not. God does not need any earthly kinsfolk and friendship. God is above all, and his word is being fulfilled in all. And I knew him not, but he who sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. Where is this written? Where is it written? He said unto me. Here it is written, and we believe the testimony of the man of God. He did not need to tell us a story. Men of God do not tell stories, because they themselves are part of the divine plan of salvation, equipped with the truth to preach the word of the Lord. And all who have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say will hear it. Once again, in this connection, from verse 33, and I knew him not, but he who sent me, it was a sending, a calling, a commission, a portion of the plan of salvation was here, and God was watching over his word and fulfilled what he promised. Baptized with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So, at the commission, at the sending, he was told, upon whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove, it is he. It is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then the man of God says, and I'm so glad about it, and I saw it myself and bear record. True servants of God are present when God is doing something. They hear, they see, they experience it. They don't go just by hearsay. They hear from God, and they see then with their own eyes the fulfillment of what he has promised. What a great lesson do we have here. How often, brethren, we're asking, how can you know that it should be that man? How often must it be asked? Did you ever hear in our days of any world-renowned man, let him be charismatic or TV showman, whatever. Of whom have you heard that even the word, the promise of Malachi would be even mentioned? All are celebrating themselves and are celebrated. And the movement is here. The question is only whether God is in the movement. We wish that God Himself works in our midst. And this by the Holy Spirit, according to His word. But it all starts with the respect for what God has promised, and also with the respect for the servants of God. There's no other way. If God sends someone, then it is His decision. And who am I and who are you that we would judge His decision as not right? Has not Brother Branham experienced the same, that the supernatural light came down? Was he not told in the presence of more than 4,000 people, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ? I believe it. I believe it. Just as I believe the testimony of John the Baptist and the testimony of Peter, who could say, we were with him on the holy mount. We have heard his voice. 2 Peter chapter 1. In the same way, the living God revealed himself in our time. And let us say it as it is. If nothing supernatural happens, then God is not present. God is not present at all. Where God is present, their Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. There the supernatural happens. God is supernatural. And today the Spirit of God works in a supernatural way in your and in my heart. We have received the connection with God and we understood what Paul has written. The natural man does not receive the things which come from the Spirit of God. It is foolishness to him. And we, who we believe what comes from the Spirit of God and what God has worked, we are the fools in the eyes of all the mankind. We are these people who are not right upstairs. No, that's not like this. As Paul said, and even I met when he spoke to Agrippa, and he was getting a little bit forceful, then they said, you are mad. No, he answered, I'm speaking words of truth and soberness. What we say makes sense, but only to those who are born of God, only to whom God can speak. He who has philosophy in his head will have no revelation in his heart. But he who has revelation in his heart, in his head, philosophy and theology is not buzzing around in his head. No, the one excludes the other one. The world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. There must be a church of the living God on earth, which he completes. Because that's what the scripture says here and there. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he sanctified and also glorified. And it is written in Ephesians 5, verse 27, that a church will appear before the throne of grace without any spot or wrinkle. Then just believe it. and believe that you are part of it. Believe that you belong to it. We did not spend the fuel and the ticket money just to be here, but to be prepared, to be edified, to come closer to the Lord, to understand His word and counsel better, because that's how we heard it. Teaching will come from the Lord. But God has set into the church the various ministries, apostles. An apostle is a sent one, but not some kind of sent one. An apostle of Jesus Christ is a sent one of the Lord by a divine commission, just as all the prophets and men of God were. And therefore, we are not speaking by our own, but we are speaking in the name of the Lord for the edifying of the Church of Jesus Christ, so that she reaches her perfection by grace. So, if someone does not agree with something or doesn't get over some kind of problem, then not just running away from it, but here, like in a family, one cannot run away from problems and then solve it. It's impossible. He who runs away from a problem and does not solve it there where it came up will never get it solved. We must remain together. As Paul said at the time of the group of people who wanted to jump off the ship into the water, he said, "Remain in the ship, remain in the ship. No one of you will perish. No one may jump out on his own, but remain. Remain and lay everything before the Lord." Like in the family, so also in the family of God, in the house of God. Believe me, the problem must be solved there where it is. Not going out and tear in pieces a duvet so that the wind carries the feathers into all directions under heaven, but there where the problem is. And mostly, and this Brother Branham said, mostly the problem is with him who seeks it at others. Mostly the problem is with us. And because we can't get along with ourselves, therefore we seek a prey and are finding problems which we try to solve at others. Let us be honest. When your and my problem is solved, then all problems are solved. Then God comes to his right, and then no man needs to take out the splinter from the eye of the other one. Then each one becomes aware of his own beam, and then we are all helped. Please, don't forget it. If we have been baptized into one body, and let me emphasize this once again, with the name of the Lord. In Judaism, they say, because of the misunderstood scripture, the name of the Lord, the name Yahweh, which means the in himself existing one, the in himself existing one. He does not need anyone to exist, but all need him so that they can exist. This one holy covenant name of the Lord. And when I think about in Judaism, Adonai was the substitute. And then I think about in the Greek language, they also found a substitute, Kyrios. This can be anyone. A ruler can be a Kyrios. But our Lord is not only a ruler. He is the ruler. He is the Lord. He is God manifested. God himself and the Almighty God has revealed his covenant name when he was leading out his people out from bondage. And this name is put aside. But of course only until the moment comes where the veil is taken away from their eyes and when they see whom they have rejected, whom they have pierced. Can you imagine? I ask you all to come with us to Israel. But the pain is just so great because at that time they missed the day of God's merciful visitation and were misled by the scholars and did not recognize what God was doing. Therefore, they had to go through very difficult ways. But now God will reveal himself to them. What is with the church? Different, difficult ways are behind us. So much blood of the martyrs was shed. You can read it in the Stern magazine from the year 1095 up to 1293. 22 millions were murdered because they did not belong to the Church of Rome. Were called sects and all kinds of things. Much blood was shed. But always, those who found grace before God, they were standing firm and they did not deny the faith. But that what God has given them, they kept it. Also in tribulation, they kept it. Brothers and sisters, we are contending not for us, we are contending for the faith which once for all was delivered unto the saints. And for this we need the enduing with the power from on high, the anointing of the Holy Spirit which teaches us all things, the same Holy Spirit which was resting as the anointing on the prophets and on the anointed one must rest also on us so that we understand what was shown to them and what they have written down. The prophets and apostles wrote of course only down, but to us the God speaks personally to us through the word which was written down by them. God does not speak to me through Moses or through some kind of prophet. God speaks to me directly by what he revealed to the prophets. This we must receive in us and thanking God for it. How many make fun of what Paul has written? And they say, Paul, this was a woman hater. Paul this, Paul that. And did you read about it? Now even another Bible shall be published. A women-friendly Bible shall now be printed. A women-friendly Bible shall be printed. And then in Romans 16 will not be written anymore deacon, but deaconess. A women-friendly Bible shall also come. The general translation seems not to be enough. The ladies raised their voices and now they want to contribute their part so that the Bible finally is suitable for society, so that no one is offended anymore. Now, to this, we don't have to say anything to it. God is in his word, and God demands from all that they believe and that they receive his word by faith. Now just the places from the Old Testament which show us the anointing of the priests and kings so that we have the transition to the New Testament, namely that also we take part, because we are also a people of priests. That's how God said it in His Word. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. Here we read from verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Kings and priests, a chosen people consecrated to God. The Lord God wanted to take abode. He said, there where I record my name, there I will come to you, and there I will speak with you. But if one then takes the name away and replacing it with another term, what is then? God has given the promise. In all places where I record my name, there will I come to you and will speak with you. This we must respect. This is the divine order. And because we received the revelation of the name of our Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. Yahweh of the Old Testament is Yahshua of the New Testament. The Greek form which we took over is Jesus. And we can be thankful that God overlooks all these human weaknesses and is still hearing our prayers, because we did not know it better, and by this it shall remain until the end. But nevertheless, it is necessary that the meaning of the name is revealed to us from the scripture. Otherwise, the Lord God would not have said it. Then we have the next place in the Holy Scripture, in Exodus 29, verse 6 and 7. Exodus 29, verse 6 and 7. Here it is written, and thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Then the second part from verse 9. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons.
Wenn du so Aaron und seine Söhne in ihr Amt eingesetzt hast.
He speaks about the ordination, an adoption, by anointing consecrated, not automatically, a people of priests and kings, but appointed by the power of the anointing, by the power of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, baptized into one body. Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit baptism according to the biblical pattern. And then the church receives the required unity in the Spirit, that we all speak the same language, receiving the same teaching, and being led by the same Holy Spirit by grace. Brothers and sisters, before the last manifestation of God's power takes place, we must first become one heart and one soul, like before Pentecost. Most people want to become afterward one heart and one soul. Do you know that already for the prayer for the Holy Ghost baptism, this unity is required? I refer here to many years back where there was unity before we prayed for the Spirit baptism, where we were one heart and one soul. Brothers and sisters, the heaven came down to earth. Heaven was on earth. Joy, peace, everything what belongs to it. The same must come. It is written that before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that they all were in one accord, all the 120. If this would not be written, that they were in one accord and were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, if we are not in one accord, then we are waiting in vain. We must be in one accord, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. No one may have something against the other one. Everything must be cleaned up and everything must be tidied up. The Lord wants to have His way with His church by grace. It is late at the world watch. And the Lord tries to bring us, all of us, there to the point that He can have His way with us. Now quickly, the word from Leviticus chapter 8. Here we have been told, Leviticus 8, of the breastplate, of the Urim and Tumim, of the lights and perfections, about the two lots which were in the breastplate of Aaron, which he was wearing when he came before the Lord and the people. In the Holy of Holies, there was Aaron with the breastplate with 12 stars, and the names of the 12 apostles were engraved in it. And in connection with this priesthood, where the breastplate belongs, it didn't belong anywhere but upon the breast of the Anointed One, and to the breast of Him who was consecrated by God, who was appointed by God, and then all the others had part in it. You can read it. Leviticus chapter 8, from verse 8. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Tumim. Parallel scripture, Exodus 28, verse 30, and others.
In das Brustschild hinein, hierauf setzte ihm.
And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Wie der Herr die Mose geboten hatte, da nahm Mose das Salböl.
And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. Here we have the point. Not only Aaron and his sons, not only the high priest and the priests, all the vessels in the whole temple were consecrated to God by the holy anointing and given for their purpose and ministry. And this includes all of us who we are making up the Holy of Holies. Ye are the holy nation, the chosen priesthood, brothers and sisters. Also now we may not look unto us, but unto the Lord, who has taken the poorest of the poor, the most wretched people, who would have not known the way by themselves, who would have walked on their own way, just like all the others. God is not a respecter of persons. He knows, before He even speaks to us, whether we believe or whether we won't believe Him. And He knows who will believe Him, namely all those who were chosen before the foundation of the world, who were predestinated as sons and daughters of God according to the good pleasure of His will. Let us summarize. Many places could still be read, also of our Lord. Isaiah 61 could be read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me. And then comes all the list of what belongs to the ministry, inasmuch the anointing has taken place. And then we come to Luke chapter 4, where the Lord was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And then He said, "This scripture is today fulfilled before your eyes." Brothers and sisters, we want to experience the fulfillment of scripture in our midst. It is not enough for us to see the fulfillment of scripture at the people of Israel. We are thankful for it, but we want to experience the fulfillment of scripture personally, as the Church of the Living God. So, the Lord has given us the grace to have respect before Him and His Word. Interpretations are an abomination to us. That's how it is. Interpretations are an abomination to us. The Word of the Lord remains forever. And the Word of our God must remain in our midst until eternity. Until we. That's how John writes it in his second epistle. The Word of God abides forever with us and in us. With God, there are no chances. With God, there is a predestination which respected our will. God doesn't force anyone, but all who wanted, them He could predestinate according to His counsel and His overall view, which He had from eternity. So, we are not here by chance. We are here because God ordained it that way. And we are here to hear the Word of God, to believe it, to go along on the inside. Let us say it once again at the end. Let us not look unto others, and also not too long on our own mistakes, on our own shortcomings, because then also depressions can come when we ourselves almost give up hope, not knowing how things will go on. Let us today look together unto the Lord. He will do it. This is His word. This is His promise. And then we will not only be laid out, then we will pass the tests by His grace, walking forward with God, possessing all the land, seeing the glory of God in our midst. And the anointing will continue to teach us all things. If I would have to think on myself, I would not know what should be said here, but God knows it. And the Holy Spirit leads into all truth, and the truth remains God's word. Blessed and praised be our Lord. We thank once again that we are not depending on that what people have made out of God and His Word. They are mocking and scoffing and making fun, but the time of the scoffers is slowly coming to its end. They should hurry up, because their time is running out. The Lord will rise. He has a church which must be completed before he turns to Israel. And when the time comes that it actually could happen at any moment, how near is then the completion and rapture of the church of Jesus Christ? Let us just be thankful that God looked at us mercifully. We don't need 10 men to hold a service. We need the living God in the service so that he speaks to us and works in us in a supernatural way. To the Lord our God be praise, honor, and glory. We did not criticize, we did not judge, we just rejoiced that God has a people on earth which is on his side, which believes his word, and which is sanctified in the word, until we come from believing unto seeing. About everything else, we are sad, but we cannot change it anyway. But let God have his way with all of us, here and today and tomorrow and in all the world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May all be blessed in all peoples, tongues and nations who belong to the people of God. May all be joined together into one body by the baptism in water and spirit, being brought into the unity so that God can manifest himself. We believe it. The way is prepared. We just have to walk on it. Blessed and highly praised be the name of the Lord our God. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and sing together as so often, just as I am. We remain in silent prayer. Should some be in our midst who have a request, a real request, which they want to bring before the Lord, believing that the prayers of the brothers and sisters can help them to break through by faith and to receive it and take it from the hand of God, that he has heard us. Sometimes personal needs and requests can be so difficult and hard that we have trouble to personally believe that God grants the turnaround. Then it is necessary that we stand in for one another, that we pray for one another, asking God that he intervenes and that he gives a turnaround, that he helps by his grace. Today, no one shall go from here as he came. Today, the Lord has led us to the fountain, has shown us how he is building his church. He redeemed her through his precious and holy blood, has forgiven all guilt, blotted out all sins, has reconciled us with himself, and does not remember the trespasses anymore. As the prophet Isaiah announced it, though your sins are red as blood, it shall become white as snow. And then a crowd clothed in white linen will appear before the throne, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the true overcomers overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and did not love their lives unto death. Brothers and sisters, the decision was made. God has laid it into us, and we believe that all promises are yes and amen. The presence of God fills this building. What we are asking today in prayer by faith, it shall be done unto us. The presence of God is here. We feel it. We feel it. God is present. He wants and will answer prayers. I will not ask you to raise your hands. God knows all the hearts. Every request, all the needs, he knows everything. Today, we will pray together and believe together and thank him together. First praying, believing, or believing and praying, and then according to Mark 11 from verse 22, thanking the Lord that he has heard us and speaking out the things by faith what we were asking for. That we lay off today every burden, that no one leaves this place with any burden, but to lay off the burden according to the scripture, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. Today we will find rest. There is a rest for the people of God. By faith, we enter into this rest. Let us sing the chorus, Only Believe, and afterward we will pray. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, together we raise our voice. Your word was again the lamp unto our feet, a light on our way. We come together before your throne of grace. We thank you, thou Lamb of God, that the blood of the new covenant is still on the mercy seat, that we find help at the right time. Dear Lord, today, at this place, we bring you our life, our needs, our requests, and all the requests of your people, near and far, and at this place, on all the places, worldwide. Dear Lord, bless your people, give new faith, new strength, new courage, new comfort. Confirm thy word, salvation, healing, deliverance may take place today at this place, on all who heard your word and who believed your word. Hallelujah. I thank thee. I thank thee that you have heard us. You have heard us. You have heard us. Blessed be thy name. Dear Lord, may your people be baptized and spirit baptized, and may all come to the unity of faith. May we make up one body, the body of the Lord, with many members. Be the head. Flow through your body, which you have purchased. We thank thee for the revelation of your word, of your name, of your power. We thank thee for the prophetic ministry. You have fulfilled your word. You have sent a prophet. We thank thee for it. May the message worldwide be heard, and all who are of God, may they hear what you have to say unto us. Dear Lord, in this year, we are the last time gathered like this. May a new year, a new working of God start for all of us. Something new may happen, because thus saith our Lord, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto you. Anoint your people. Distribute gifts and ministries. Glorify thy name. To you be all the praise and the honor and the glory. And you, all of us, with the power from on high. Hallelujah. Give unity so that we love one another wholeheartedly, that each one esteems the other one higher than himself, giving you the first place. You shall be the first, you shall be the last. Hallelujah. Alpha and Omega, we thank thee for it. You have a body, a church, you are alive, and we are also alive. Hallelujah. Be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God, in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah. 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 Du bist das A und O.
Du sollst der Erde.
Amen. Amen. Ihr mögt euch sitzen.